everyone, and welcome back to Open Language. I'm Diana.
And I'm Adam.
So today we've got another lesson in the Office series.
Okay, number 14?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. So this one is going to be about giving criticism and feedback.
Okay, so, feedback is a fun little word. Criticism can be a little bit, it can scare some people, right?
Yeah.
Because criticism can be good or bad.
Right, of course. So in this dialogue, we have Karen giving Zach some feedback.
Okay, so let's go ahead and see what that feedback is.
Sounds good. Hey, Zach, I'd like to have a word with you if you have a moment.
Oh, absolutely, Karen.
I've noticed a few issues with your work. I'd like to share my feedback and propose a couple of solutions.
I'm all ears.
You tend to fall behind schedule, and I think that's largely due to how you prioritize.
Yes, I do tend to get bogged down in small details.
Also, when you encounter roadblocks, don't be afraid to ask for help instead of working towards a dead end.
But I just feel guilty bothering you or anyone else, since I was given the job in the first place.
I understand. But you need to learn to not just work hard, but work smart. As you mature in your career, you'll need to move beyond simply completing tasks. Instead, you need to be more strategic in your approach.
I see what you're saying.
I have high hopes for you, and that's why I'm bringing these issues to your attention.
I appreciate it, Karen. Thanks for the pointers. I'll take them to heart.
All right, so our dialogue starts off when Karen says, "Hey, Zach, I'd like to have a word with you if you have a moment."
Ah, so this should be a clue that, like, something really important, possibly something you don't really want to hear,
right,
is about to be said.
Yeah, and this "have a word with you if you have a moment," they're both very useful phrases to learn as chunks.
Yes, they are. And again, to hear them, like, "I'd like to have a word with you," this is pretty serious.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to chat with your friends, you wouldn't say, you know, "Hey, I'd like to have a word with you." It pretty much means that there's going to be some criticism or feedback.
Now she continues to say, "I've noticed a few issues with your work, and I'd like to share my feedback and propose a couple of solutions."
Okay, so propose here. She doesn't want to ask him to marry her.
Right, although that is one way you could use the
propose,
word.
Propose, right? Yeah, when one person gets down on one knee and asks, and we say pops the question.
Yes.
That is also the proposal. But this word propose and proposal, we often use it more in the business world, right?
Yes. So when you propose, it's a more formal way of suggesting an idea.
Right. In fact, you probably need to write a proposal.
Right. If it's a proposal, it is written out. It's quite formal.
Yes. Now, I think with my friends, we kind of use this word in a bit of a joking way.
Like, how so?
I propose we go to the bar.
Oh, okay. I see.
But it is a really formal word. So you probably wouldn't use this just with your friends.
Right. Right. Of course. Now, Zach replies with a really nice little phrase. "I'm all ears."
I'm all ears. I'm listening.
Right. So this is going to be a bit more casual if you also want to mean "I'm listening."
Yeah, that's right. I guess the only thing I would suggest here is just make sure, guys, that you add that S. I'm all ears.
Right. So what does Karen say?
Well, Karen says that Zach tends to fall behind schedule.
Okay. And why is that?
Well, it sounds like he doesn't really know how to prioritize.
Ooh, all right. So tend to is basically you frequently behave in a certain way.
Yeah, exactly. It's often like this.
Right. And prioritize, I'm sure most of you guys know what this means. It's basically ranking the importance of things you need to do.
And actually, you could even call those priorities.
Right, exactly.
The things that are important to you or that you need to do are your priorities.
So Zach says, "Yes, I do tend to get bogged down in small details."
Zach. Okay, bogged down. This word bog or bogged sounds kind of funny for one.
Right.
It gives me the image of like a swamp.
Yes, because it is a swamp.
It is a swamp, right?
Yeah.
It's just a really, you know, like wet place that's, if you get stuck in the swamp.
It's really hard to move.
It's really hard to move. It's really hard to get out, really.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, this is going to be kind of like a wetland with a lot of muddy ground.
Yes.
So, yeah, once you get stuck, it's really hard to make any progress. So here, when he says that he gets bogged down in details, he's basically always stuck on the small things.
Exactly, exactly. So we say here, in, bogged down in something. We could also say bogged down with.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I'm bogged down with work, I guess.
Right,
bogged down with too many commitments.
Yes.
We could also say by. You're bogged down by something. Or you could always say just bogged down at work.
Right, right. So you could be at a place.
At a place.
Or it could be with something.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Karen continues to say, when you encounter roadblocks, don't be afraid to ask for help instead of working towards a dead end.
Okay, so Karen is dropping a lot of kind of like road and direction metaphors here.
Right, right. So encounter here basically means coming into contact with.
Meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But what is she coming into contact with?
So, roadblocks.
Okay.
Now, these are going to be obstacles that are in your way.
Right. So, if you're driving on the road and there's a, you know, a tree that has fallen down, or, you know, the police are chasing you, as Diana knows very well.
they
might block the road with their cars or something, and that would be a roadblock.
Now, a dead end is pretty descriptive in itself. It's an end that is dead. So it's a path that doesn't have any exit.
Right, exactly. I mean, I was always thinking, I remember being a kid and learning this expression because we lived on a street that had a dead end.
Oh.
And everyone said, well, it's because there's no exit. Well, you can just turn around.
Right.
But I mean, generally speaking, this phrase just means it's not likely to succeed, right?
This
idea is a dead end. Mm-hmm. This plan is a dead end.
Right. So if you want to keep moving forward, you will have to turn around and, you know, find another alternative way out.
Exactly.
So what does Zach say in response to Karen?
I think this is pretty smooth, actually. I mean, we all know Zach is a pretty smooth guy at this point, but I just feel guilty bothering you, or really anyone else, since he was given the job in the first place.
Okay. So this phrase, in the first place, kind of means to begin with.
To begin with. Right, originally.
Right. And this is actually going to be our grammar point.
It is a great point because it really does add a lot of emphasis to what you were saying. Like, I didn't even want to come here in the first place.
Right.
You know, like, or emphasize other things that you, like, really don't want to do or you really don't agree with. This was your idea in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you complaining?
Now, Karen says, I understand, but as you mature in your career, you'll need to move beyond simply completing tasks.
Okay, so mature. Here is a verb. We often hear this word as an adjective.
Yes.
In fact, I don't think I've ever heard it used for me. I'm always the opposite. Very immature.
Really?
Immature.
I see.
But this is a verb, right?
Right. So basically grow.
Grow, yep. So how exactly does she think he should mature or grow?
So she says, instead, you need to be more strategic in your approach.
Okay.
Now, strategic here, we can see that it's related to strategy.
Right. So it's not just a plan. It's like, could we say like a super plan?
Right.
The plan of all plans.
The plan of all plans. The plan that uses a lot of strategy.
Yes, exactly.
Now, what is approach here?
Approach is basically the way, the way you do something. What is your approach? Like, for example, we could ask a lot of our listeners who have kids, what's your approach to raising children?
Okay.
In fact, we did have a couple lessons recently, right? How to parent, yes, successfully.
Right.
We've heard a lot of your approaches. Actually, I think are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of strategy there.
Right, of course. And in the end, Zach says, I appreciate it. Thanks for the pointers.
Okay, so pointers here, kind of like the advice.
Yeah.
Right?
Tips,
yeah, yeah. I mean, in fact, like, I always think, if you think about a relationship of kind of like an older person giving a younger person advice, you mm-hmm. might say something like, I'll give you a few pointers.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the big question is, not just, you know, with this old guy and this young guy, really anybody giving advice or giving pointers, is the other person going to accept that advice?
So are they going to take it to heart? Okay,
so maybe some of you guys right now are thinking about the song, Take Me to Your Heart, what a stupid song. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
But in here, take something to heart is just basically, like we said, accept it.
Mm-hmm. Like you are actually really considering it and you are putting it into your heart.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Because most of the things that we hear every day, you know, we hear it and then it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
Right. We don't really consider it or find it significant.
Well, a lot of it is just, you know, people want to give pointers. People love to give pointers.
Love to give advice, yeah.
And they love to give advice, but it's just, it might not apply to you,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's, yeah, you don't always want to take everything to heart. However, I would say that, you know, if you meet someone who's very, very successful in your field, you should probably take the things they say to heart.
Right, right. Now, here Zach is saying he's going to take it to heart, as in he's going to start implementing these pointers that Karen has given him. However, another meaning of taking something to heart is to kind of feel upset or offended by something someone has said.
Okay. So in this case, it's not really about like considering and implementing. It's kind of just like holding on to.
Right, right. Like it really touched your heart and, you know, it's kind of offended
you. Oh, okay.
Or, you know, made you really upset. So, for example, we could say, you know, don't take it to heart. He tends to speak quite harshly.
Right, right, right. So I guess you could probably see how these two, like, different uses are, they're a little bit different, but mm-hmm. they're pretty similar.
Right, right. You're basically really listening.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it for this lesson. Let's go ahead and listen to the dialogue one more time.
Okay, great.
Hey, Zach, I'd like to have a word with you if you have a moment.
Oh, absolutely, Karen.
I've noticed a few issues with your work. I'd like to share my feedback and propose a couple of solutions.
I'm all ears.
You tend to fall behind schedule, and I think that's largely due to how you prioritize.
Yes, I do tend to get bogged down in small details.
Also, when you encounter roadblocks, don't be afraid to ask for help instead of working towards a dead end.
But I just feel guilty bothering you or anyone else, since I was given the job in the first place.
I understand. But you need to learn to not just work hard, but work smart. As you mature in your career, you'll need to move beyond simply completing tasks. Instead, you need to be more strategic in your approach.
I see what you're saying.
I have high hopes for you, and that's why I'm bringing these issues to your attention.
I appreciate it, Karen. Thanks for the pointers. I'll take them to heart. Okay, Diana, that actually didn't sound too bad,
mm-hmm.
right? I think Zach got some good criticism there, some good pointers,
mm-hmm.
And it sounds like he is going to, you know, follow the advice.
Right. And we do have to give some kudos to Karen because it was really constructive, right? And she also proposed ways in which he could start implementing them.
Yeah, exactly. So there's another word we use in here, mature,
mm-hmm.
right? And I really do feel it's a sign of maturity to be able to accept criticism.
Right.
I certainly know that when I was young, if anybody dared to criticize anything that I did. You know, it was...
Just
not really... Like, it didn't matter if it was, you know, very, very constructive criticism, mm-hmm. like you just said, or just anything, a pointer.
Right, a pointer.
You don't know me.
You don't know my life. All right, so we would like to know how you accept criticism, if there are any ways that help you, you know, really listen to things that aren't so great about you.
And, of course, giving criticism as mm-hmm, well. Are you in a position where you have to give criticism mm-hmm. to maybe other people in your office? Are you the kind of person that loves to give criticism?
Right. What are some ways that can help soften the blow of criticism?
Okay, guys, as always, thanks for listening. Hope you take what we've said today to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.